thanks for dropping by. This is Coming Out Stories. I'm Emma Goswell, and I'm your host. It's brought to you by What Goes On Media. If you're new to us, welcome. We basically sit down every fortnight with someone from the LGBTQ plus community and hear those intimate conversations and moments that led them to coming out. This episode, you're going to meet EJ. They're a young person living in a small town in Ohio.
I identify as a genderqueer, gender fluid, mask lesbian, which I know I've heard a lot of people say that they have qualms with that word for some reason.
Which particular word?
Lesbian.
Ah, okay.
I mean, I didn't care. I don't care if people call me that. It wasn't really like a term that I heard a lot growing up, but I don't care. Either lesbian, gay, anything but homosexual.
You're not happy with that?
No, because whenever I get into a talk with my dad about sexuality and gender and all that, he always says homosexual, which I understand he's trying to be respectful.
Hmm.
But I'm like, just call me gay.
I feel like it's a very medical term, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's not very personal, is it?
Right. And I feel like homosexual is an insult to me, in a way, just because you're not respecting how I feel inside, even though, I mean, I am homosexual, but still.
There's quite a lot to unpick here, isn't there? Because genderqueer and mask and lesbian, so...
Yeah.
I don't know where to start. How does it work out being a mask lesbian?
Well, I'm quite new to the scene because when I first came out, I was what was known as femme because I was kind of girly and all that. I had long hair, kind of a stereotype. But now I like exploring my masculinity, kind of putting my femininity to the side and exploring a new side of myself and...
I can't see your hair at the moment. It's in a bobble hat.
Yeah. I cut it short, actually. Well, I had it shaved for surgery that I had not too long ago. And then I took a shower last night, and it kind of woke up like going, boop. So I kind of put it into a hat to keep it tame.
So if you identify as a mask lesbian, what are your pronouns?
She, they.
She and they. So...
Yeah.
Erring on the side of feminine, but also slightly non-binary.
Yeah. I laugh because I've had quite the internal war with myself over the last couple of weeks about what my pronouns are and like who I identify as. After a heart-to-heart with my parents the other night, I kind of realized that I'm still female. I still identify like with some feminine things and all that. And so... I'm fine with being called she, her, or they, them.
Hmm.
And I've recently kind of come to the terms with abolishing the labels that society tries to put you in. I mean, in general, not just as a LGBTQ person. And so I kind of prefer the term genderqueer over non-binary, just because I feel like non-binary is more of a label than genderqueer, considering I haven't really figured that side of myself out.
But you also mentioned gender fluidity, which is different to being non-binary, isn't it? Because gender fluidity, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I see it as someone that may fluctuate. So may have some days where they feel more masculine and dress more masculine and other days where they're more feminine and, you know, celebrate that side of their personality or identity.
Yeah, I realized I was gender fluid first because a friend of mine who I absolutely love is kind of gender fluid herself. She gave me the idea of looking at binders, like chest binders.
Mm.
And so I looked at that and I was like, yeah, because I mean, that fits because sometimes I have like internal like hatred for my chest and whatnot. And so sometimes I want to look more manly, as they say. I don't really have somewhat of a girly side anymore.
So you do wear binders then, yeah?
Occasionally. Just because it's hard to find a good fitting binder for bigger chested women.
They look painful to me. Is that they difficult to wear?
A little bit. Depending on where they click together and depending on how it's made, it can be quite painful. And there are restrictions and regulations to wearing them, because you're not supposed to wear them for more than 8 hours a day, because they can restrict breathing and they can put like limits on your lungs and stuff. And so I don't wear mine very often, just because it does give me a little bit of body dysphoria, because I'm going to out myself a little bit here. A little bit of a TMI. I do have one bigger than the other. So it's kind of hard to accommodate for the bigger.
It's not uncommon, to be honest, AJ. It's really not uncommon.
Okay. I figured not, because mom told me that it's really not uncommon. But yeah, it gives me a lot of body dysphoria and a little bit of like gender dysphoria, if that makes sense. So I don't wear it that often, and because it's hard to like get a good fit and feel comfortable.
And do you need someone to help you put it on?
No, actually, because it it has bra clips on the side. And so I just slip it on like it were a tank top or like a regular top. And then I just adjust myself from there. But I can't wear it at work because I'm at work for too long, and I can't go into the bathroom like every few hours and like readjust myself, because that'd be weird.
So let's talk coming out then. I'm guessing you had quite a few coming out stories, because, you know, your identity has got quite a few different elements to it, hasn't it, really? So
yes.
Did you come out as lesbian first, or is
actually,
that not the case?
Okay, so my parents grew me up in the church, and we were church nomads and trying to find the right one. And so I grew up hearing all of the stories in the Bible. And so I came out as every spectrum there is before I finally landed on lesbian, to make sure that there was a possibility that I was going to end up with a guy.
So what, you mean you came out as bisexual first?
Bicurious, bisexual, pansexual, and then finally landed on lesbian.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you had all these conversations with your parents then? You were quite open and honest from day one.
Yes. The first time I had an actual out and open conversation with my mom, to give you a little frame of reference, I was 14 or 15 at the time. It was sophomore year, I think. I had grown romantic feelings for a friend of mine who was my squad leader in marching band and in choir and theater. And so we'd grown quite close. We have a lot of the same interests. And so I didn't know what to make of it. And I just, instead of confiding in Google, I confided my mother, because she taught me to do that, because we have an open and honest relationship.
That's great. So even before you even started a relationship or did anything about it, you went straight to your mum.
Seriously, I did, because I didn't know what the feelings meant, because my parents didn't teach me about it, because I'm guessing they didn't know anything about the LGBTQ community themselves. And so we're in the car, and I'm like, Mom, how would you feel if I were bicurious? And I kid you not, the next sentence is, quote, what, do you have the urge to lick pussy? I'm not kidding. To a 15-year-old.
And you were 15 at this point.
Yeah, and the entire time, the entire time growing up before this moment, they had always taught me procreation is between one man and one woman. And notice I said romantic feelings, not sexual feelings. And so my mother is as straight as the day is long. And so she had always said to me, that's gross. I don't want to partake in it. But you do you, honey.
That was a very sexual response from your mother then, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
you must have been shocked. I think I'd have tried to jump out the car.
Yeah, I was quite shell-shocked at the time, because I hadn't developed sexual feelings for women yet, and I didn't even know what my feelings meant or what they were. And so I forget the entire conversation after that, but coming out to her was like me like poking my head out of the closet. But after she said that, I was like, nope, and quickly shut the door. Because if I didn't know what they meant, then I didn't want to start getting ridicule from my classmates and like suddenly and like voicing them to someone and then it going around as a rumor, because I was already getting bullied a lot for other things.
But not for sexuality, no.
No, like I said, it was something that I hadn't grown up knowing or was being educated on, because my parents grew up in the church and they always taught me that it was wrong and against the Bible, against God and whatnot.
Well, that doesn't stop the bullies though, does it? Sometimes the bullies know before us and they pick up on stuff, don't they? And they can still target you.
Yeah. Surprisingly though, no one actually came at me for that, because I was the shy little kid that kept to herself.
Mm. So after that shock comment from your mother, what was the rest of it? Was, I'm not happy for you to be gay or get on with it? Or
she said something along the lines of, it's not in the Bible as homosexuality is good and whatnot, but I support you and you can go on and do whatever you want to do. Just don't tell your father.
The classic line, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tell your father, right.
And so after shutting the door, it had been quite a few years until I realized a second time that I'm gay, I'm supposed to be gay, and it needs to come out, otherwise it's going to be a hard time. I was like in the prime of my teenage years, didn't explore anything after that conversation, and then fast forward to 2021, my first Pride.
Ah.
Yeah. The friend that I had mentioned at the beginning, she and her mom took us to Pride, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. I immediately feel at home here. I love the music that they're playing, because when I walked in, Born This Way by Lady Gaga was playing.
Yes, tune.
Yes, it was a great anthem.
And which Pride did you go to then? Which town was it in?
City called Sandusky.
Sandusky? No, yes. I have to admit, I've not heard of it.
It was contained in like a little area. They had a stage set up and like drag queens would have a battle royale, and it was great. I loved it. After everything was done, we went back to her place. I was like, I can't contain this anymore. It has to come out. So I made a big post on Facebook, and with all the pictures that I had taken of Pride, and surprisingly enough, or most of the people that commented was like, we knew. We were just waiting for you to arrive.
Oh, wow.
And so... So
you said, I've been to Pride, and by the way, I've been to Pride because I'm gay.
Yeah. Then coming out to my parents a second time, well, for my mom, and then coming out to my dad for the first time was actually a little bit before that. And she said, honey, I thought we knew this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, we've had this conversation years ago. Why are you bothering me with this again?
Right. Because she's a great ally. She loves me unconditionally, accepts me with all of my flaws and quirks. My dad, on the other hand, was not so supportive at first, but he's a great man, loves me unconditionally, would die for me, but he does not understand me and my quirks, as in being gay and all of that. Because with my budding girlfriend at the time, we were best friends and we were moving up to being girlfriends. He said, if you had the same relationship or the same connection that you have with your friend that you did with a man, you'd be much happier.
So, yes, he doesn't get it at all then, does he, really?
No. Because... and then after that, it led into a talk of procreation. It's not natural for two women to, dare I say, procreate, because it's not possible. But I'm like, whatever happened to being together just for fun and being and like enjoying the fact that you're together and not trying to have an end result?
Yes, I don't think all sex is about procreation, is it really? Maybe it is for some people.
I mean, sex for procreation is fine. That's totally normal. But sex for pleasure is also good and also normal. But yeah, he still loves me unconditionally. I don't know how much he respects me. I want to say he still respects me quite a lot. And he accepts me for who I am, but he just doesn't understand it.
So, because you originally said, your mum said, don't tell your father, but did you decide to go against that a few years down the line? So did you sit him down and have the formal conversation, or did it just sort of come out?
That night had been the first time I ever brought something up about it, because I knew what mom had meant. I knew dad would react like that, and I knew to pick and choose my battles, and so I just kept my mouth shut until that night. I was hugging him, and I just started nervously laughing because it was like right on the tip of my tongue. I wanted to tell him, and he was like, "Why are you laughing?" I'm like, "How would you feel if you had a gay daughter?" And he looked at me. He was like, "Okay," and then went into what I'd said.
It's hard, isn't it? It is really hard. And what about the friends that you went to the gay pride with? Presumably told them, did you, before you put it on Facebook?
Yeah, I had told her. And turns out that she was gay as well. So,
And her mum knew, and hence that's why she took you to Pride. Yeah. They are good friends to have.
my bestest friend in the entire world, though. Shout out to her. We had been friends since we were like little girls, like 8 and 9 or 9 and 10. I don't remember the very first time that I had mentioned something to her, but she was immediately supportive from the get-go. She's like, "I don't care. I'm still your best friend. You're still mine. We're still here living it up." And so she's so great.
So you didn't have too many problems then with your peers then, with your friends at school?
No, because I didn't mention anything in high school. And so I haven't gone to college yet. So that's not a problem. But with my best friends and my other friends and people at work too are all immediately supportive and accepting.
Because that's a whole different ball game, isn't it? Coming out at work, because you know you want to be respected by your colleagues, and I don't know what line of work you're in. What do you do?
I'm a maintenance person at Walmart.
At Walmart.
Yes, I
Yeah,
don't.
okay.
Yeah.
So I imagine that could be all different types of genders and ages and backgrounds working in Walmart. It's a big company.
Yeah. I do have a few LGBTQ people who are in the community themselves. They're amazing, but none of them are my age. So that makes it a little like tough. But as I said, everybody's story is different. Everybody's going through something different than the next person. And so, but I actually feel really honored because one of them, who I had immediately like made friends with when I started working there, I was the first person that she came out to because she's still technically closeted. I was like, "I'm the first person you're outed to?" I'm like, I felt like really flattered because I guess we had knitted this like really tight bond, and so it would only make sense, but still, like she didn't have to do that.
Oh, it's an honour, isn't it, really? It's a big deal. The first person
Yeah.
that someone tells, you know.
Yeah.
And for it to be a colleague at work, that's quite rare, really, I think.
Right.
So, did you make a conscious decision to come out at work, or did it just sort of happen organically? People were asking you stuff, and it was just too difficult to say, oh, my weekend? Yes, well, I went to Pride.
Actually, for the Pride weekend, I had actually put a rainbow henna tattoo on my face. And I hadn't washed it off. And so I just went to work like that. And people just kind of started figuring it out.
That is a great way of coming out at work. I love that. Just leave your rainbow tattoo on your face.
Mean, I'm the type of person that thinks I can't hide it anymore, but I'm not gonna like constantly shove it in people's faces like, "Hey, you're straight. Well, that's great. Well, I'm gay." And so I just started letting people figure it out for themselves, and if they had a problem with it, that's their problem. But thankfully, no one really like had a problem with it that they voiced to me anyway. And as far as I know, I'm the only one who's like exploring different genders.
And then what was that like then, once you started exploring your gender and coming out as genderqueer? How did that go down with your parents, for example?
Oh boy. It was quite a roller coaster to say the least, because as I said, my mother is completely accepting, completely supportive, but she and I had a heart to heart the other night after coming home from a local bar. I had told her on the way to the house, I had told her my pronouns were then, they, them, and she's like, "I don't care, keep walking."
God.
Yeah. And then getting back into the house, my dad is actually the first one to speak up because at the bar, we had had a conversation about Pride. I told her I really wanted to go to Pride again because it's so much fun and it's the only time or it's the only month of the year that LGBTQ people get to really celebrate and not have an excuse for it. And so Dad was like, why do people need Pride? Like, why do they need to celebrate it? Because straight people don't go around shoving their straightness in people's faces. And my mom
Well, they
actually
do.
answered for right. My mom actually answered for me because she reads a lot of gay romances and out of like pure joy and not and like trying to get herself educated. And so she's like, because we need to celebrate the fact that we weren't always allowed to come out and people actually fought for us to like have that right. And so he's like, I mean, okay, but blah, blah, blah. Like went on into a whole spout of things.
He's not really getting it, is he? I feel like your dad needs to go to Pride and
Oh.
or go to some LGBT History Month events, maybe.
He would probably get the History Month more than he would enjoy going to Pride, just because it's not really his scene, and he would make faces the entire time, like showing his disgust.
No, maybe not then. No.
No.
So we've got a measure of your parents, but what do you think it's like growing up in, as you put it, small town Ohio, being part of the LGBT community?
It wasn't really challenging because I haven't really gotten people coming out to me, shoving religion in my face or anything like that, as I see on TV and the media. So it wasn't really that awful, but I don't really communicate or talk to anybody in this town because, to put it bluntly, they're all kind of snobby.
But do you feel like it's easy for young LGBT people like yourself to come out in Ohio?
Yeah, there aren't really any laws prohibiting being gay or anything like that. It's completely legal, but it saddened me when I learned that in other countries it is actually illegal to be gay. And I'm like, that's a right, that's a sexuality, not something you can manipulate.
Yeah, about 70 countries on the planet. It's horrific, isn't it?
Seriously. And then everything with trans rights being taken away from people under, I think, 26. I think I saw a couple of videos on TikTok of them calling it trans genocide because they're prohibiting the gender clinics from giving out care to people under 26, and a lot of kids and a lot of teenagers and a lot of adults would like to transition and maybe get top surgery or bottom surgery and just live their truth.
So they're not giving people hormones under 26, or they're not letting people transition under 26?
I think a little bit of both, and I think that's countrywide. Because I think I saw something about Tennessee passing a law that says it's illegal for doctors and caregivers to give out hormones or stuff like that to anyone who is younger than 26.
For sure, it is a scary time for trans rights. Both sides of the pond, actually. Terrible times here in the UK as well.
Yeah.
So, we may have got to the part in the podcast where I ask you for advice for other people who may be coming out, particularly maybe as something that parents might not understand, being genderqueer or gender fluid.
Well, as my mom told me from a young age, don't rush it. Don't try to let people tell you how to feel and live your authentic truth. Speak your truth. Because your journey is your journey, and that's for people of all ages.
It sounds like you know, even though your dad's not 100% on board, you have got a very good relationship with your parents anyway, that you could just tell your mum before you'd even done anything. Most people sort of wait till
Yes.
they've had a relationship at least and then go, by the way, this
Yes.
is my boyfriend or this is my girlfriend. And
Yeah, they were very supportive and accepting eventually because they didn't care. They just wanted me to be happy.
that's all you want from your parents, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And well, thank you for contacting us because tell us how we ended up doing this interview then.
Well, I had been a listener for a while, And every time I would hear you, please contact us at comingoutstories.com or whatever. And I heard, please tell us like how you identify and like what your story is and offer yourself up for an interview. I'm like, hells yeah.
Well, thank you for being brave and doing it, because it's, you know, it is a big step, isn't it, to suddenly talk to someone on a computer who's the other side of the world and tell your story to people who would be listening all over the world, really.
Yep. And hopefully I can offer some advice or some words that people need to hear and help them in their journey.
And I'm sure you will have helped people by sharing your story. So a big thank you to you, EJ, for getting in contact and for chatting to me. It really is that simple. Probably the easiest way to get in touch with us is through our website, which is comingoutstoriespodcast.com. You don't have to offer yourself up. We'd really just like to hear from you and find out what you think about the podcast, what you like about it, and maybe what you've got from it. By the way, just to clear up that ban on trans healthcare for those under 26, it isn't actually every US state, but in January this year, Utah joined 4 states, Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, and Tennessee, that have all enacted laws restricting transgender youth's access to gender transition care. And that, sadly, is not the end of it by a long shot. At least 21 other states at the time of recording are currently considering bills to ban minors from receiving gender transition healthcare. What a worrying time we are living in. Do stay with us, though, because next episode we are staying stateside and chatting to Brad. He came out in his 30s, by which time he was already married to a woman and had a daughter. Thankfully, his wife took it pretty well.
After I did come out to her, a few days later she said, you know, I should have known, because you always put your hand over your mouth when you laugh and you like to drink frou-frou drinks. And I also said, you know, you're probably giving me word in the future if you are attracted to a man and want to get in a relationship that this could happen again. And I said, so here's the secret. Watch his eyes. If you ever watched me in the mall, you would have known where my eyes were. And she said, thank you. That's very helpful to know.